Daytime Confidential podcast brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. On today's show, we're celebrating the Young and the Restless' 40th anniversary with our top five Y&R moments. We hope you enjoy, so stay tuned. Jamie Giddens, welcome.
Hey, hey.
Jillian Bowe, welcome.
What's up?
Well, the Young and the Restless is celebrating its 40th anniversary. Many, many wonderful, shocking, possibly disturbing moments have transpired over the past 40 years on the Young and the Restless.
Just the past five.
Yeah, just in the past five.
For the shocking, unwatchable moments, at least. But we're on a positive tip because, you know, we prayed that devil out.
Top five moments doesn't necessarily have to be good. They just have to be moments.
Right. But there was more good than bad in 40 years. So.
Oh, yes. Jillian, why don't we have you go first?
Oh, God. My number five moment is David Kimball being chewed up in that trash compactor. That man was Jill just brought nothing but misery, trying to, all in the name of greed, trying to get Nina, trying to bust Nina so she could get that inheritance back. I'm like, girl, I don't understand it. When people have money, you have enough. Why do you need more? Like, why do you need to control that girl? David coming along just brought nothing but heartache, and in the end, he got crushed like a bug. So there you have it.
Jamie?
My number five is also in that dysfunctional family unit, those wacky chancellors. It was Kay begging her husband, Philip, not to leave her for Jill. I was telling a friend who doesn't really watch soaps, but he's a fan of Spartacus, and I keep telling him, you know that's a soap, right? And he's like, no, it's not. And I'm like, yeah, it is. But anyway, so I was telling him how in soaps in the 70s were, you know, more about realism and not, you know, some of the wonkier conventions that soaps have come to be known with. We have a poll up based on a Planet 360 discussion about should soaps retire the Return from the Dead, but you know, soaps in the 70s were more like dramatic plays on TV. But that scene, which I only saw on YouTube because I was born in the late 70s, I ain't that old, was awesome. It was awesome. Kay is like, please don't leave me, Philip. I know you're tired of my drinking. I know you think my breath stinks because I'm a lush. I mean, they really said that. Can you imagine the actress in today's soap world that would see that line and not rush it?
I'm gonna say that my breath stinks.
She was like, I know you complain about my drinking and my breath. Please, Philip. I'm like, dang, Kay had yuck mouth. But of course, we all know it was to no avail because he had sampled the young, nubile tenderness of a young Jill Foster, then played by Brenda Dixon. So he was on his way out, but he didn't get to have that happy life we all know with Jill because a drunk Kay drove him to his death. But her actually begging him not to, I mean, it was just such a raw moment. And Jeannie Cooper just, you know, she had no ego about her in that scene. She was blubbering and begging on her hands and knees, basically, for that man to give her another chance. And I thought that was really good soap opera.
I'm too big. I'm like, girl, you been listening to the Temptations? What you doing?
TLC. She wasn't doing it. Well, the Temptations did it first. Yeah, she was like, please, Philip, please. And then, you know, it's a classic moment, too, because, you know, everyone always knows the Battle of the House for the newer fans. But that was the moment when, you know, not during that exact scene, but when she finally realized that he was like, girl, I'm done with you. That's when she was like, I don't want nothing then. I don't want the house. I don't want nothing. So he was like, okay, you don't want it. So I'm going to give it all to Jill. But Kay eventually,
that was the groundwork.
Got it all back. And, you know, Bill Bell threaded that stuff so marvelously because that storyline, you know, ran the show all through the last 40 years. You know, the last couple of regimes kind of mucked up Jill and Kay's glorious dynamic, but it's still there and fans still clamor for it daily.
Yeah, I was not feeling them being related. That was dumb.
No.
Well, I am a much newer viewer than both of you when it comes to YNR. So my memories are much more condensed to the last decade, a little longer than the last decade. But I found one of the things that I noticed about YNR when I was compiling my list is that for me, the moments that stick out in my mind are a lot of times the cinematic way, the way things are shot or the way that it left an impression as opposed to a storyline. Mm-hmm. So for me, I have two moments, both of them.
Is this a tie? It's
not a tie. Oh. Well, it's involving the same character. Evil Seed Adam, the first, but portrayed by different people. First of all, Chris Ingen as Sabrina's ghost. I will never forget that moment, just for the simple fact that it disturbed me so much. And then secondly, we have Michael Muniz Adam with Rafe in a scene that could only be described as "you're the donut and I'm the filling." I mean, it was just, it's one of those things where
only,
the character...
Only. That's the only way you could describe it, huh?
Mm-hmm.
It's just one
I don't
of those
know what you order at Dunkin' Donuts. We don't order the same order.
I'm serious. Ew. I'm not going to Krispy Kreme's.
Go ahead. Breakfast. Look, you just did more for the diminishing of breakfast sales than anything in soap since Dixie ate them damn poison pancakes.
I just realized that over the years, Adam has given, no matter which actor was portraying him, has given a lot of memorable scenes. So I had to have Evil Seed Adam at number five.
Well, what?
Who do you have it?
What moment? Isn't it the top five moment?
Well, he did. He said.
Oh, okay. I was like, huh?
He said that Chris Ingen dress, you know, being Sabrina,
okay.
Adam. You know, see, I was thinking he had more. Forget you talk about donuts. Adam said he wanted some quesadillas that night. He had to...
He was wanting some churros.
Oh my god!
Just take the wheel.
Number four, Jillian.
My number four moment is when Sheila decided. If she wanted Scotty Granger, hook or crook, when she switched them babies, I was just like, Sheila is a nurse. She should know she should see the pain. Well, she does know firsthand how it feels to lose a baby. And then she pulled that crap on Lauren. I was just like, I remember watching that, and I just thought, as a child, I was like, nurses are supposed to help people. Like, that made me scared. I told my mom, I'm like, don't have no kids. Because
two words, nurse ratchet.
You know? Well, look, I didn't watch One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. You know, I didn't watch that. But as a kid, you know.
Nurse jacket. Four words. Okay. Well, she's helpful, but she a pill popper.
Okay, yeah, she a pill popper. But, you know, as a kid watching that, I told my mom, I was like, don't go to the hospital. And she's like, why? I'm like, you know, if you have a baby, you're not going to come back out with the one that you have. And then she did politely tell me, who told you I'm having another one? I was like, okay. But, you know, Sheila was just a cold bitch. I'm like, Scotty Granger must know how to throw it down for you to be doing all that. For to do all that for some dude, I'm like, you must be, you must have been before your time, before 50 Cent's time, before Magic Stick came out.
He wasn't doing all that because Lauren sure messed with Brad while she was married to him.
I'm just saying, you know, for Sheila to do all that, I'm like, dang, was 50 singing about you with the Magic Stick? I'm like, that was crazy. So that's my number four moment right there.
Jamie?
My number four is when Drusilla confronted her mother.
Ooh.
About the fact that Mama Barbara loved Liv more than she loved Drew. Oh my God, it is the penultimate Victoria Ralph scene in my opinion, on that show. I mean, and she had a lot. She definitely had a yacht, a lot. You know, lover or hater at this point, with
She still got a memorable scene.
All the Twitter craziness that goes on, good, bad, and ugly. There's no denying that she was a ferocious actress on this show. And when she confronted her mother and basically told her, "I survived you." And, you know, and the woman who played her mother was also brilliant. She's basically admits to the girl, "I didn't try to get pregnant with you. Your daddy wouldn't stop coming all day," you know. And the dad was like, "Shut up, Lily," you know, because she was like, "I didn't want no other kids, and your daddy wouldn't stop trying to get it." But it was just a beautiful scene. Olivia, who didn't really know why Drew was always mad at her and trying to take Nathan's Jerry Curl the ass away from her. And, you know, she was there and she saw, you know, what a monster her mother had been to that girl in not loving her. And basically, it was a real portrait. Bill Bell was one of the, well, that's an understatement to say he was one of the masters of storytelling in any genre. But it really, without, Bill Bell told socially relevant stories without beating you over the head. And I'm not saying the others, but you know, other soap writers of that era made a point to say, "I'm telling a socially relevant story." But with Bill Bell, I mean, it was a really, you know, I'm not saying I agree with Lily, but it was a very progressive message for someone, because, you know, not all the times people are cut out to be parents or want to be parents. And in those days, women didn't have a lot of options. And she basically said she didn't want a second child. And that's why she didn't, you know, well, she, you know, she said Drusilla was, you know, lying basically about her not loving her as much as, but she did admit, "Look, I didn't want another kid. So I'm sorry if you got the short end of the stick." But, you know, Drew gave this impassioned speech about how her Aunt Mamie was more of a mother to her than Lily ever was, and how she had Neil, and how she had a beautiful life, and how she survived her mother. And that was good soap opera.
Coming in at number four for me is another pastry scene. It involves Catherine and Jill's infamous cake fight. Love Jill versus Catherine. Unfortunately, I didn't catch most of the good years. So the
YouTube,
ones that I...
There's always YouTube.
I know, but in terms of watching live and experiencing it live and not in grainy YouTube clips, Catherine and Jill's cake fight, I'm always down for a good cat fight. Seeing those two battle axes go at it with cake was fantastic.
You would have loved, honorable... you have to, okay, then Luke, you must, I'm going to send you the YouTube clip. If you like that fight, you must watch them fighting in the attic when Jill discovered that half the house, you know, that the house belonged to her, really, or whatever. They had to go to court after that, but you have to watch that one, because they actually had a physical cat fight, of course, with stunt doubles, because you could tell sometimes it was a little man named Mo Johnson with a blonde wig on playing Jeannie Cooper, because they slug each other all over that
Billy
attic.
Ray. Yeah.
Yeah.
My honorable mention for number four was Jill in Japan.
Okay,
as a geisha.
Why you don't do
this
that?
This is top five, Lucas Curtis. This is not top 20. A moment.
Well, we have honorable
mentions.
No,
you can't be doing that. You're number five. You're talking about. I'm going to have two out of moments because it's the same character. I got two K moments on here, and they are separate slots. Top five mean I have to try to pick the top five moments, because that's hard.
I'm the host of this podcast. Jamie, who do you have
I'm
number
Brooke Logan, and I believe that you're going to quit doing that.
Okay, I'm serious. It's Jillian for number three. Thank you.
That's your number 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10,
Yeah, my top 20. Coming in for number 20 for me, no. My number three is, you know, I wasn't really, you know, I can barely remember it, but because of the power of YouTube, I remember it. And that is when Miss Nikki Newman had Victoria, just filling Victoria's head up with nonsense about Ashley. That is when she would tell Victoria those bedtime stories about the wicked witch who was trying to take her daddy away from her. And when Victoria saw Ashley, I'll never forget that. please don't take my daddy away from me. I was like, I'm gonna you, bitch, you. That just set the groundwork for the epic Nikki, Victor, Ashley Threadway. That was just fantastic. Nikki was a beast. That was just like, my grandmother was just like, oh, she said to that baby. I'm like, she want her man back.
Remember how she used to play sick to try to get Victor back? Okay. Oh, something's the matter with me.
Oh, see, oh, we pulling a loop. We put some more on there. Okay, we pulling a loop. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's all right to elaborate, but we only have one pick.
All that right. Three, right? Luke, good.
Did you say your number three, Luke?
No, it's your next.
Oh, I'm next. Okay. My number three. Jillian already mentioned her switching the babies. Mine is a moment in that storyline that was just shocking for me for daytime television. And that's when Nurse Sheila removed that baby's birthmark. She removed Scotty's birthmark to make sure that no one ever figured it out. You know, this was before the days of rampant DNA testing. You didn't hear a lot of talk about DNA testing back then. You
didn't hear about Auntie Dina, as people say, Auntie right, Dina.
But Lauren remembered that her kid had a birth certificate. We hope it had a birth certificate. It was born in a city, right? But, no, because my granddaddy didn't have one. He had to get his own when he went to the Army. Ain't that crazy? I love Texas. I love you, Texas. But anyway, so no, that woman had that baby. She had baby Scotty's birthmark. I'm going to keep saying birth certificate. What's wrong with me? I have a Tourette's.
Who are you,
birthmark removed so that she could keep that baby. And that was just like, I remember those moments when Bill Bell wrote that show, you'd be watching it going, Lord? Oh my God!
That was shocking. That was really shocking because my aunts would rush home from, they would rush home from work on their lunchtime. I gotta watch The Young and the Restless Child. And when that joint went down, I remember they was just like, oh my God! And, my cousins had to tell them, you can't do that. Like, one of my aunts was like, I got to go check my baby. Make sure my baby is my baby. My cousin was like, you can't do that. She was like, you don't know. That was so
why
good.
A lot of people looking at their kid like,
looking sideways. Yeah.
Coming in at number three for me is a scene that involves two characters that I particularly like. And both of them are memorable, and they're in the same scene, but they have different reasons why they were memorable. Stacy Hyduk and Judith Chapman in the church scene, where Judith Chapman is dressed up as a nun, and Stacy Hyduk is a crazy ass bride holding a cat. That I remember how great that scene was from a purely cinematic standpoint, and the way it was shot, the music, the timing creeped me out, and I absolutely loved it. I will always remember.
Only one person on this podcast will get an invite to Maria Arena Bell's swanky shindig, her next swanky party, and it will be Luke Kerr, because I ain't nobody else referencing nothing from the MMA era.
Listen, no matter what you say about Maria Arena Bell, the fact of the matter is, Stacy Hyduk as Patty was one of the best things
she was
during her run,
and she gave,
as Jillian put it, she was the baddest bitch.
She turned, as I put it, she did the Kim Zimmer. She turned sugar, shit into sugar over and over again.
And Jillian didn't get no Emmy for it, damn it. Mm-mm.
Jillian, who do you have at number two?
My number two, this still stands out in my mind.
Sit out of gift baskets. You know why I started got to sit out gift baskets now?
Gift baskets, CDs, coffee. I would say donuts, but they don't.
Yeah.
Some of them scared of donuts now. My number
and the filling.
Shut up, you freak. My number two moment is when Cassandra Rollins was killed by Adrian Hunter.
Yeah, he's the dad on freaking Secret Sluts of Who Gets
Yeah,
Pregnant.
that was Ben Rappaport. Yes. When Adrian wanted to kill Cassandra for her money and make it look like a suicide, I never forgot that because I know my sister and I, and my cousins and our old housekeeper wanted to try that. What he did, which is what what you talking about? What? No. We wanted to when he did. Let me. T okay. Well, let me. T let Bring the readers up to speed. What he did was he had her drugged and he had her sitting in a chair, and opposite the chair was a gun, and inside the gun, the gun was on top of dry ice. He rigged it so that when the dry ice melted, the gun would go off and it would shoot Cassandra, thus making it look like she killed herself. I wanted to try the dry ice thing because I ain't never seen dry ice before as a kid like that. But that was
You were
just,
gonna try and shoot
I just
someone?
said, I just said,
Ain't got no money. I'm just gonna let you know. I'm broke. I'm broke.
I just said,
Don't look at me.
I wanted to try the dry ice. Anyway, I gotta spell, I'll fix the two of y'all. I'm not gonna say what I'll do to two of you.
Oh,
But
that was a good story. Nina Arvidsson, she was so beautiful. Oh.
Paul, was it Paul? Paul, yeah, Paul rushed in and saved the day. Or was it Paul? I think it was Paul that rushed in and
I don't
saved.
know, but she ended up dying anyway because Brad got all her money.
Yeah. Some other gigolo got her money, but that was just so amazing. Like, that just made me want to study science. Like, for the whole summer, I wanted to study science, and then when I got to school, I was like, fuck
You didn't
science.
want to put no dries. Let me tell you, my grandma used to take me to this place called the County Market back home. And, you know, it was this big old, this was in the days, like, I don't even know if Sam's Club was around, but it was like you could go get all this meat for sale. And, you know, my grandmother, we'd drive 30 miles to the neighboring town because the county market had a sale. And I'm like, are we really saving money if we have to put all this gas in the car to go get this stuff? And then, you know, instead of going to, you know, Sam's Club has sausages on sale for, and I'm like, but we got to fill up the tank to go get it. But anyway, you know, that's me and my grandmother had economics class together. But anyway, I remember that they kept all of those mountains of food on dry ice, and my grandmother was like, "Don't touch that. That's not real ice. That's dry ice." And I was like, "What's the difference? Just don't touch. Just like I said, don't touch that." I'm hard-headed. I had to touch the dry ice. How come it gave me a burn, like a second degree burn? Dry ice can burn you.
Yeah, and the cool thing about it is, once it melts, you don't see the residue or anything. It's not like water, it's not like regular ice. That's
It
why I
ain't
thought
to play
so,
with. Dry ice will burn the shit out of you.
yeah, that's why I thought it was so fantastic. And
Now
Bill,
that was the science lesson portion of
I
the
mean,
daytime
Bill
conference
Belt was a
test.
G for his time. I'm like, damn the
He thought
CSI.
stories out. He thought his freaking stories out. He didn't do any so long, sister killers, or
Which is another memorable moment.
For you.
Not necessarily for a good reason. Not necessarily for a good reason, but there's no denying it's a memorable moment we'll never forget.
Popular memorable moments. But anyway, where
Yeah.
we at now?
You're at number two.
My turn. So, all right. Again, this is something Jillian, the great minds think alike. Jillian already mentioned something, you know, Jillian mentioned him ending, you know, his final, his denouement of David Kimble. My number two moment is Nina filling him five times full of hot lead. Pow, 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 pow. When she basically realized that he never loved her. And that Jill put him up to, you know, conning her out of Philip's money. She said, "Oh, I'm gonna show you better than I can tell you. I'm finna be a gun." Look, she was like, "I believe in the Second Amendment. I'm a Republican." She said, "I might vote Democrat the rest of the year, but I'm Republican on this." Boom.
She was like, "Jason Morgan need to take tips from
Oh,
me."
Nina, yeah, Jason would look, if that was Nina in that church other than Set of Faith, look, Super Jason might have had a bullet in that t-shirt because
Okay.
Nina popped him good.
As she did. Oh, don't you make me sad.
Coming in at number two for me is Brittany Hodges and Bobby Marcino's romance. One of the things that I realized as I was compiling this list, in addition to the fact that I enjoyed the Young and the Restless cinematics was that there aren't really a lot of couples that I've got behind the same way that I have on other soaps, say Jack and Carly on As the World Turns, or other couples on General Hospital, or say the ABC or NBC soaps. And so when I think about couples that I really enjoyed, Brittany Hodges and Bobby Marcino are one of them that immediately jumps to mind. I really wish there was some way that they could come back. Obviously, he was killed off, but...
Well, he was killed off off-screen, wasn't he?
I know. He could potentially come back, but that would also mean that she would have to come back, and I'm not sure...
I don't know. I don't think he was killed off off-screen, because that's how... I think he was killed on-screen, and that's how they ushered her off.
No, didn't they go to meet in... I thought they went to... What is that? Protection? People protection program?
Witness protection.
I don't know. Send the people off somewhere, like on Knox Landing, and the black family was in the people protection.
No, he was killed by a hit and run, and she.
Yeah.
I thought she went to be with her. Hell, see, look, all these years, I thought Bobby and Brittany was somewhere in the witness people.
No, they were preparing for witness protection, but he got mowed down. Chelsea Brady came over to Genoa City. Oh, it's Luke Spencer. You know.
I would love her to come back. I miss the Glowed by Jabot kids.
I love both of those characters. I didn't really like that Robat so much. I wanted him to break Nick. Well, no, I don't want to say break Nick is back, because she'll start, if you break Nick is back, she'll start popping pills again. But I liked his chemistry with Nikki, and I I really liked her with Raoul.
I hate how they pronounce his name.
Jamie, who do you have at number one? Or, sorry, Jillian, who do you have at number one?
You got Jamie on the brain a lot, boy.
I do.
Because we brought the business together. Don't get it twisted.
Oh, my God. My number one moment has to be, y'all know what I'm going to say, when Nikki was shaking her tail feather, Victor was like, who this woman? Yes, look, Nikki said I had to make it rain somehow.
Nikki said she was like every rapper's wife ever who started as a stripper. Look, I go get this money.
But she said, I'm the baddest bitch in the game, except under Lynn Marie, because Nikki always kept that ranch. I'm still mad at that fool. But anyway.
It's all light. You need some shades in there now, because it's bright. Yeah. I do like the set, but damn, you would need some damn sunglasses to be up in that house.
Imagine if you were like a... Can you imagine if Summer was still little? No, Faith running in there with some hot dog.
Oh, Nikki would break her butt.
Get your hands off my couch, that hot dog girl! You know?
That didn't mess Adam's cataracts when he came in there to get that toast, because that set is bright.
But yeah, my number one is when Victor first saw Nikki at the Bayou. His fuck, Colonel Douglas Austin. Oh, I missed him!
It's Douglas.
He's dead. The guy who plays him is dead.
I figured he'd be dead, but Douglas never died on the show.
Well, see, that's the thing. When Lynn Marie was around, she never addressed it at all.
I still say.
Well, isn't that sort of like Miguel just disappearing?
No, they told you where Miguel went. Miguel went to take care of some family members.
And I'm like, she must have the shittiest medical insurance ever. But,
Miguel, Mamie, Douglas, what was Paul's secretary? Lynn, all of them is on a cruise somewhere. And look, Kate Linda is on the phone with him. Talking about,
well, what about Gina? Isn't Gina on that cruise too?
Cruise too. Look, Gina Roma can't even cut up no onions at the athletic club. I'm like, dang, I miss Gina Roma. Gina Roma's walking around the set talking about, hey, Billy and Victoria, y'all need me to sing for you? Now we good. We good, Gina.
But yeah, that was like the epic moment, you know, to put that just put everything into, you know, that just laid the groundwork of one of the most popular soap couples in soap history. He went there and it was just like, Who is that? And Douglas is like, I told you, my boy. He was like,
they
she's the
did
queen.
the doggone, was it what, My Fair Lady, or you know.
Yeah, it was. It was because Victor didn't tell her. See, Victor thought that Nikki was all about the money with him. Like, he never told her who he was. He made it look like Douglas owned the house and he was Douglas Butler. But Nikki was like, even though, you know, she wasn't about the money. She was about Victor. But Victor still wanted to be tomcatting around. But Nikki got him in the end.
And remember when Victor used to spank Nikki? Now, you know, you would never see that on television now, but, you know, of course, Lucy and Ricky, they used to have Ricky spank Lucy all the time. But I distinctly remember Victor putting Nikki over his knee and spanking her one time.
Brings new meaning to the words 50 Shades of Nikki.
Yeah, he was trying to teach her how to be a lady, and he spanked her. I said, boy, now you can you imagine that scene playing out today? Twitter would blow up. How dare they do that?
Forget Twitter. I think that whoever, say Victor was to try to spank Boomshika flip over and bust the shit out of Victor. Who you think you hit it all mad? Don't make me keep your heart medication, bitch. Child, that would not work out.
She might like it. She might say, ow, daddy.
Ow.
Jamie, who or what do you have at number one?
Ow. Felt good. That's what Nikki did. That's how she got her mansion and a penthouse too. My number one is another Catherine Chancellor moment. Unlike Luke, I separated my moments. Kay tried to get up them stairs at the Abbott mansion so she could tell Mr. Abbott about Jack hoeing around with Jill. And Brenda Dixon's Jill was like, get out of here, you crazy old woman. And Jeannie Cooper was like, I'm going up there. Kay was drunk. I'm going up there to see John. Now, the whole time, John was sick. But I was thinking, he must be on his deathbed. Because why wouldn't you, all that commotion downstairs, you would think John would have come out to the parapet and been like, what the hell is going on in my house? But she was like, let me out of that jail. I'm going to tell Mr. Alper. I'm going to tell John what you're doing. And, you know, Jack, Terry Lister came in there. Catherine, what are you doing? I'm going to tell your daddy on you, boy. I'm going to tell your daddy. And somehow they managed to get Kay's drunk ass out of that house so that she couldn't tell, you know, that Jack was hoeing around with his daddy's trophy wife. Oh, God, those were such good stories.
That storyline is my honorable mention when we do them, when we finally do them in the right order, unlike
you. You know, it was just incredible. And then the way, you know, Kay finally revealed it. With the puzzle.
That's my honorable mention. That was awesome. I'm like, Kay got too much damn time on her hands.
Boy, Bill Bell just plotted a soap opera. It just makes you, I mean, you know, we're in a good place right now, so I'm not in one of my moods to rant about how bad daytime is, because it's really not. All four soaps are entertaining me. But when you think about those methodical, well-drawn-out plots.
But think about how great they sat down and thought about it instead of just, you know, I want to make Sammy bitchy again, or I want to make
it came from something. It came from character. You know, you had this woman who destroyed Kay's life, destroyed everything. Well, you know, really, we are, in my opinion, and me and my grandmother used to battle to the death about this. I don't feel like Jill destroyed anything, because you can't keep nobody who don't want to be kept. Mr. Philip Chancellor was tired, okay, with that fucking mouth drinking all that booze, and it just so happened that Jill was there, and that's the first mistake Kay made, because you don't never bring no young woman in your house.
Bring a fox into the hen house, honey.
My assistant would have looked like Drew Carey in a dress. You know, that would have been my assistant. You know.
You never know. He may have liked that, too.
And that's when you really know your marriage is in trouble. But, you know, you can't be bringing some fresh little young thing in your house amongst your children. Ask Jude Law's former wife about that. You can't do it. You can't do it. But it makes for good soap opera when you do. And that's my dream story for Jill. I would love for Jill to get married, maybe to Congressman Wheeler, and be happy. And, you know, think her life is all, you know, finally. And then some little 18-year-old girl come along and do an All About Eve on her. It would be history repeating itself.
Oh, that would be perfect.
Coming in at number one for me is something that I very much was looking forward to, very much enjoyed when the scene finally took place. After Guiding Light was canceled, one of the actor or actresses, I should say, who I was most hoping would land a job was Marcy Ryland.
Damn it!
She did.
Marcy Ryland told me to tell you we are retiring Marcy. She is now Emmy. Emmy, like the daytime Emmy. Like Emmy. 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 Okay. Is her name. And I love Marcy Ryland, and she's the only one I won't complain about this. But thank you, Marcy Ryland, because now we're going to have to change those tags on years worth of blog posts. But her name is Emmy now.
I'm calling you by your
No, we'll just tag them with both.
I'm going to just start calling them Riley. Ryland. I'm going to start calling every soap star. You know, you're going to just get your surname because we went through this with Vanessa Marcel. She changed her name 5 times in 1 year. And I'm like, what?
Forget that. That's Sandra Ferguson.
Yeah, I'm like, what is your name? But yeah, we love you.
On behalf of bloggers everywhere. Quit with the name. Please. So that goes for the men too. Brighton.
Oh, just gonna say it, Luke. Say it.
Brighton James. Brighton. The artist formerly known as Brighton McClure.
Like, boy, damn.
The symbol.
The symbol of Brighton McClure. But we love Emmy Ryland, so we will put up with that.
Symbol gonna be
well,
boy rolling.
She was still Marcy Ryland at the time. But she debuted on The Young and the Restless as the naked heiress Abby. We'll never forget it. Glad and thoroughly enjoyed her entire run, but it was a great way to make a debut. It was a great moment to say, I'm here, bitches, and see what happened. I know a lot of people didn't like it, but I thoroughly enjoyed how they introduced the older Abby. So for me, that was number one. Honorable mentions, Jillian?
My honorable mention is Daniel and Lily going on the run in L.A. I thought their romance was epic. I liked when they revisited it. But Maria, as usual, she let them fans scare her. And I'm like, please, ain't nobody taking no show hostage with me. She didn't do nothing with it. I would like when Tom came, when Terrible Tom first came to town. And his memorable lines, me and Mel and I quote this all the time. Curiosity killed the cat, but satisfaction brought it back. I was like, ow! Roscoe Bourne, you badass! He's so badass!
You know he was on my Santa Barbara.
Yes, goddammit, I know it! Shut up!
Robert Barr!
Oh, God. Was he a badass on that, too?
He was a corporate raider who seized control of Capwell Enterprises and was the only man to ever make Eden say, Cruz, we might have to let this go, cuz. yeah.
Let me see.
He fell in love with her sister, Kelly. Anyway, I'm sorry. We're talking about The Young and the Restless.
Yeah. My other moment was when Victor found out that Ashley had an abortion. They showed that clip on with The Young and the Restless recently, and I thought, oh, my God, that was so great. Victor, you snatched Ashley. You had no care for our child. She was like, oh, my God, how can you say that? And then Ashley started talking to her shoe.
Leave my Ashley alone.
You talk to that bitch too hard. She talked to a damn shoe. Better recognize.
Yeah, my baby ain't never been one to handle too much stress. Now she'll wig out on you.
Brad in that bird cage. Oh, Brad in that bird cage. And him wanting to go home to Big Tracy. I mean, go home to Tracy. Oh, they just want don't.
His ex-wife put him in there. Yeah.
They just don't do it like they used to anymore. And of course, you know, when Drew was in love with Nathan and had to stand there and watch her sister get married to the man she loved, I thought that was epic. Even though, you know, Neil was her man, but that was just, I'm like,
well,
damn.
You know, Neil and Drew got together because Neil had a thing for Olivia and she had a thing for Nathan and they teamed up to bust them up and fell in love themselves.
Oh,
such
too
good
bad.
Storytelling. Okay.
Yeah.
The current day is good. We're good.
Jamie?
We're good. We're good. I'm remembering how awesome it was to see Adam jump in front of that bullet because we are in a good place with Wyatt Earp now. I'm happy. I'm happy. I'm happy. I don't need to have to do a seance to contact Bill Bell. You know. But yeah, my honorable mention, I will give Maria a bone for this. You know, it's been disputed as if, you know, who decided this, but you know, Josh Griffith has been in the press saying that this was his idea. So look, this might not even be a Maria bone either, but when Ashley returned under that regime, and it was during the faux death of Kay Chancellor, and Ashley returned and seized control
Oh, that was good.
of Jabot, I was like, ah! 'Cause
That was
I
good.
am
That
an
was good.
Ashley Abbott stan for life. You know, I also remember loving her 1999 return because no, if you know, I actually got used to and sort of liked Brenda Epperson's Ashley, but after that, you know, that Shara Shattuck Shattuck, whatever her name is, bless her heart, she write novels now, and I'm like, good baby, find you a niche because you know, I was like, who is this Jessica Biketa wannabe, and why is she playing Ashley Abbott? So I was anytime that she has returned, I've always been like, oh, plus it helped me get over the fact that she left Days at, you know, because she left Days because they were working her like a slave over there playing four or five characters, which she's back just as one. Love you, Eileen Davidson. That's a two soap diva right there. But yeah, any, you know, any moment with my
What, you
action.
didn't like her on BNB?
BNB, Brad wrote all, you know how, Luke, you're a comic book fan, so you will definitely understand this reference. When Bill Bell was alive and he brought characters over from The Young and the Restless to The Bold and the Beautiful, they stayed themselves. And when he brought Bold and the Beautiful, you know, well, he really didn't bring too many B&B. Yeah, well, yeah, he did, because wasn't Bill alive when they did the whole Brooke going to Genoa City to try to get, yeah, he was still alive with that. So whenever Bill Bell was alive, the characters stayed their character whenever they were in either orbit. But since he's left, you know, Amber comes to Genoa City and she becomes this earnest, you know, well, she still schemes a little bit, but after that, she becomes Kay Chancellor's earnest buddy. Then she goes back to The Bold and Beautiful and she regresses 10 years. I'm gonna have sex with another black boy and lie to a white boy about his baby because that worked so good 15 years ago. And, you know, Ashley was Pod Ashley when she was on The Bold and Beautiful. I was like,
Okay.
what? Ashley was Taylor Light. They just said, okay, let's get some old Taylor Hayes scripts and have Eileen say the lines. Shut up, Brooke. I love Ridge. No, I love Ridge. No, you love Ridge. No. Everyone, shut up. We can just have an orgy. Would you like for me to fit you with scarves?
Did you have any other honorable mentions?
No.
Okay.
Anytime Mamie brought the Abbott some of her sticky buns.
What a
I
chuckle
was wondering
at
if
your
those were going to
head
pop up.
right now. But say he sure loved my sticky buns. He used to come up to my room late at night and ask me to make him some sticky buns. Ew, shut up. Ugh.
You know, Mamie was in love with Mr. Abbott. I still say Drew was their kid. She just gave Drew. See, that's why Lily didn't like her. That's me saying that. She had Drew. Mr. Abbott was probably drunk, you know, because Dina Mergeron was out hoeing around on him. So he went up there and bothered Mamie. And, you know, that was a scandal. So she said, look here, y'all got to take this baby. And then they didn't even bother to teach her how to read. See, that's how people.
Oh, stop, 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 stop.
Okay, my honorable mentions are Daniel and Lily on the run when they were a young couple, Michael and the people, Drusilla versus Phyllis.
Which time?
Lucas pick it. It ain't moments for Lucas.
It doesn't matter
Just
when it comes to
decay.
Drusilla and Phyllis.
Hi.
Kay's mistaken death funeral with, I mean, everybody thought it was her, but it was really Marge. I love that funeral. Ashley switching sperm. And
Nasty.
that's my honorable mentions. We would
This
encourage you to comment on
top
this.
30 moments.
This is serious.
We would encourage you to comment on this episode at daytimeconfidential.com. Add us as a friend on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/DCConfidential. Next week episode is going to be a top five General Hospital moments since it's.
That will be top 50 moments of 50 years of General Hospital. All of
Well,
that later, Cassidy.
Helena, there will be a lot of Cassidides on the list, to be sure. And the honorable mentions will just be up the wazoo.
Helena grabbed a butcher knife at Emily's neck. Helena grabbed a butcher knife at
Helena had inappropriate chemistry with Jax. Helena should have slept with Luke.
Okay.
Blah, blah, blah.
Bye,
on that note, so long.
Bye.